Hi, and welcome to Parent Talk hashtag with Bev. As you know, I'm a black mother of West Indian descent, living in London with some young adults in my house now. I'm not an expert at anything. But I'm just here to share some stories or examples, or even have some guests who can just enlighten us a little bit more. That said, I haven't sat down and prepared a script or anything like that. I was just reminded of a conversation I'd had. This week has been pretty intense. There's been loads of Zoom meetings. Zoom is the new connector. And I was in a space that had been created by some mothers who have lost their children, mothers and fathers who have lost their children, either through a violent act, stabbing, murder. And it was a really heartfelt space to be in, because one, I haven't experienced loss on that level and don't know what that's like. And if I'm truthful, I don't want to know what that's like. But the reality is none of us ask for what's coming. We just got to figure out how to handle it when it comes. But one of the conversations that or something from the conversation that came up was about, engaging with schools, because we were thinking about solutions, or as a group thinking about solutions of ways in which we can support our children. And the reality is that, this is what I used to teach in the parent courses that I ran when I used to work for another charity. It really is about communicating with the schools, because if I've given you something that I consider to be quite precious, which is my child, I'm just not going to give you that and not have any questions and not talk to staff or the head teachers, not do my research about the school, not get involved. I mean, why would I give you a treasure and then forget about it? No, it doesn't work like that. So I'm just trying to recall what specifically was said. And I remember I said that when you've got an issue with the school, what we tend to do, and some black parents, but I'm just saying parents generally, what we tend to do is if we're upset, we just go into the school and we have a blast at the teacher and just sort of say, look, I don't really like the way that you're doing this, and no, you didn't treat them right, and rare tear, right? Which is all great. You've let the air out of your bag and they've received it. But what happens is, number one, they can listen, they can act. Or sometimes you can tell them something, they listen, and then they don't act. And then you're like, well, you haven't done anything. Well, the thing is this, having experience of working in the education system, being a manager in the education system, being a parent governor, and chair of governors for a federation, one of the key things that you have to do as a parent is put things in writing. Now, yes, it's important to do your research about the school, and they've got everything on their website, allegedly. And if you can't find it, you need to ask the teacher that you're involved with, or the head of year, or the receptionist, right? Where on the website can I find this, 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 and that? And you need to spend time looking at it, right? And they have something called a complaints procedure. Now, if I have a complaint, I can deal with it informally, right? Informally means I go in and I have a word with you about it. No one's taken a record of it. No one's done anything about it. Fair enough. It's informal. But if you want them to do something about it, you've got to put it in writing. And if nothing else I've learned from being in the education sector, is that once something's in writing, you have to show that you have done something with it. So you write a complaint or a concern, and you send that in a letter form or email, right? Or if you're going to send it in as a text, you screenshot the text, you keep that as a record of you having contacted whomever the number or the person is. And you basically have to keep a record, because when the schools are looking at any issues that may have come up, one of the things that they look at is how many complaints have we had? And they're only looking at the written complaints. And then they're looking at what was the outcome of that complaint. And so somebody has to report what the outcome is. And that is on record. Now, when Ofsted come into the school, normally when Ofsted come in, they do an online survey, and they ask parents to fill out these questions that they want answers to. Do you feel your child is safe? I mean, it's been a while since I've done these forms, but they're asking you questions. Is this a safe school? Does your child feel safe? Do you feel able? Do you know who to contact if you've got a concern? Those kind of questions. And on Ofsted, the inspectors are trying to see whether or not what comes out from there will tally with any other paperwork or complaints that have been brought up about how the school may deal with one thing or another. And the reality is, right, that information is looked at, and the school's judged about the way in which they deal with these complaints and how they come up. Right. And if there are themes, as an inspector, you'd be looking at, are there themes that are coming up around the school? Because the school can present to you, let's take, for example, their bullying policy. They can present, this is what we do when something happens with bullying. OK, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, Hasted and Kalfat. But then when you get to the other piece of information that's coming from parents or the letters of complaint, you're looking at the themes that are coming out. Now, if they're saying they're really good at dealing with bullying, but yet all the paperwork and letters and the complaints are demonstrating that there's more complaints coming out about that, then there is something that's not tallying as far as the inspectors are concerned. So the inspectors will dig deeper. And then this will have an impact on one of the areas that they're looking at with regards to either how the school is managed, how the school responds, how the school faces out towards the community. Now, there are many parents that I've worked with who have felt they have been on the receiving end of their child's needs or their concerns not being met, which has led them to, you know, not trust the school. And it's almost like you end up having to be like a lawyer in order to document everything that you have said or they've said to you. But believe me, if you don't do that, they're doing that. When your child gets into any kind of trouble or issue, they log it. So when you finally go for one of these meetings, you're suddenly presented with all this paperwork that they've kept on, oh, well, you know, so-and-so had a detention for this report on that, this. And before you know it, instead of you going into that meeting in a position of like, oh, well, I know what that was, you come blindsided because you're like, oh, my God, what happened there? We went in to deal with this complaint, and they had a whole dossier like FBI about you and my child and me not calling the school or them calling me or trying to call me and can't get me. And they're saying that really and truly I'm not engaging with them. You get more angry and you get more defensive. So small piece of advice that I've given parents is if you have a conversation with somebody about a concern that you may have, you've got mobile phone, send an email to them saying, thank you very much, Jane Doe, for speaking with me today regarding the concern that I brought to your attention. That concern was this, X, Y, Z, and Z. And your response was X, Y, Z, and Z. And I look forward to this being resolved. And that could be the first thing that you send them. It doesn't have to be no big, if you don't do this, me, I go do that. And if you don't, you know, it doesn't have to be like that. It's just keeping a check. It, you know, I've given you the treasure of my life. So I'm entitled to send a check, like, you know, to put in a check like that. So an example, boy, I've got too much examples, but, you know, one parent that I helped, you know, one of the things that they said to me was, I don't really know how to put it. You know, you're better at speaky spoky than me, Bev. And I was like, well, you know, if I write the email for you and you send it, then it's yours and you'll have that record. So you write what you think you want to say, and then I will look at it and put it in speaky spoky, all right? Because obviously I've got an idea of how they function. And what was interesting, right, was that once we'd sent that kind of email out to the school, they responded and they did act. And the mother was like really surprised. So another one I had, the school that her son was at was basically not accepting that he had a special education need, like attention deficit disorder or something to that effect, because I'm just using memory here. And the mother was like exasperated. She was just like, you know, no matter how many times I've talked to them and I've told them, and even though we've got a clinical psychologist involved, it's like they're not really, you know, taking this on board. So I said to her, well, write the email that you think that you'd like, and then I will revamp it. I wish to God that I had the email in front of me, yeah, but I've left that job, and so all the paperwork and everything is with that company. But I think it was along the lines like, you know, I'm writing with regards to my son, name, form, blah, blah, blah. We've had various conversations around a special education need and blah, blah, blah. I've looked at the website and, you know, very clear about what you've said. However, you know, in our experience, this is not the case. In year one or whatever year it was, we identified this. You said this, that, and the other, and we gave you the space and time to put those things into practice. However, that's not come to pass. We are now at this space whereby even our clinical psychologist, blah, blah, blah name, who has written to the school and has said that these things should be put in place in order to assist the learning that this young man requires for him to overcome the barriers to his learning. And, you know, this we have been looking for the school in order to do this. I'm more than happy to facilitate or help the school to have a meeting with myself, my husband, and the clinical psychologist so that together we can look at this and really look at some concrete ways in which to eliminate the barriers that my child is experiencing with regards to accessing his learning. So-and-so, right? And we sent it off. And I think we said something like, you know, we would appreciate your response to this within 7 to 10 working days. Otherwise, we will have to take the matter further. Now, we didn't even say how we were going to take it further, or what the further would look like. We just wanted to give them, you know, 7 to 10 days in order to sort out. And this mother was telling me that she was trying to get a meeting with this school and whoever the head person was for special education need. She'd been trying for a while to get them to have a meeting, and within a week of that that letter or email or whatever, I think she sent it as an email, within a week of that being sent, the school contacted her back and they had a meeting with her husband and the psychologist, and they looked at the way in which they needed to do what they needed to do for that young man. Do I need to say any more? So sometimes when you think that things are a little bit too much of an effort, if you've given somebody something that is quite a treasure, and I think my child is, a treasure that you need to take into consideration, then I need to put some action in, and not always just hot air. You know, it needs to be a very permanent action, and I need to follow it up. And the mother just said to me, you know, thank you just for being there to talk to and just to problem solve or suggest. We came up with ways in which we would do, and you know, you just talked it through, and then it was like, well, you know, let's try an action. We just don't know how it's going to pan out, but let's just try something and then give ourselves some breathing space about how we might want to move on and perform and challenge the next time should we need to. And it was resolved. Thank you. And the mother basically just had to keep a check on the school to make sure. And the way in which she did that, because you can ask the school, you know, as part of this, how will you communicate to me and how will you communicate to my child the progress? How are we going to monitor this as a team? Yeah, I'm not just leaving everything to you and then you kind of tell me. That's what my mum used to do. I'm a product of Windrush. My mother came here. She trusted the education system and everything, and didn't ask questions. I came through the education system. I asked bare questions. And I know that there are parents out there who do not understand or have had very difficult experiences with the education system. But as long as my child is still in any form of education, I'm going to, you know, get involved. Doesn't have to be a lot. When I became a governor at my children's school, at first they were like, yeah, you're a governor. And afterwards they were like, oh, mum, can't you just spend time with us? And I had to balance my time between what they needed and what I needed to think of for the long-term strategy. And when they left primary school and went to secondary school, I think the secondary school had a post going for governor. And my daughter said, no, I don't want you to be a governor at this school, mum. As much as I have the experience and I understand all the jargon and I can see things from that perspective, which took a long time to get my head around, she wanted me to be in her corner. And so the things I learnt, I was able to use in her corner. So if there were things that she needed to deal with her teacher, I empowered her by having the conversations with her so that she, when she went back into school, would be able to have those conversations. And she knew that if those conversations didn't work and it was failing, that she had a powerhouse of a mum behind her to go in and sort of do things in a more formal way. Now, I'm not asking any parent to be like me. What I'm saying is, support, and especially if you've given something to the education system, which is your child, it's in your best interest to engage with the school. Yeah, I don't mean stand up in the playground and nitta natta. I mean if they've got a parent forum, if they've got events at the school, go to them. When they have parent evenings, go to them. When you're going to parent evening, have some questions that you want to ask the teacher. But mainly it's about how can we work together to support my child in their education in this system. And now, even more than ever, with COVID-19 on our backs and the schools are under pressure to either stay open, to close, to put things online. You know, distant learning does not suit every child. And so therefore, you know, there are some key questions that you're going to have to ask. If it's not working for your child, like I've got one parent at the moment whose child's school have ensured that he gets paper-based learning because he doesn't fare well on online. So that school has made the extra effort of making sure that all the work is printed out, that he gets the work, that it's brought back in. and they did it through lockdown as well, that he gets the work, it's marked, and he has online feedback with the teacher. I mean, that's just another example of meeting the child's need. But unless we as parents ask some of the questions that our kids may even pose to us, like, you know what, Mum, my teacher ain't doing this. And you'd be like, well, why? Are they doing it for someone else? Or are other people getting this? And if other people are or are not, it's not even the issue. The issue is your child has a hurdle. So how are you going to help your child to overcome that hurdle? How are you going to help the school? How are you going to notify the school to overcome that hurdle? And if English is not your first language, then you get somebody in from your community whose English is more competent than your own, and go in still. And if that is the case, you can ask the school to, if they've got an interpreter who can assist you, because, you know, that's another service that some schools have, so that you can still engage with the school and still support your child as much as you can. I mean, I could go on forever, but I just wanted to make this a short podcast, 20 minutes or so, just to help anybody who needs it out there. Now's the time to put it in writing and follow through on the results even more, especially during this time. Okay, so thanks for listening. You know, you want to reach out, you know, you can do that. And I wish you a really positive weekend. Take care and stay blessed. But most of all, be safe. I'm out.